Okay, so January 26th, we went through some of our prayers. One thing I haven't mentioned is it's Wednesday night. Doug Carriger will be here and he'll be preaching. He's the guy with Wounded Spirits. And so we're going to connect him with Larry and Kim. And I think I'm thinking his wife's coming. I'm not sure. I'm thinking she is. I'll have to go back and read my notes, but he's coming in because our pastor friend in Lee Summit, Grace Baptist, where we went up and helped him with their John and Romans, he's having knee surgery, and Doug Carriger's, I think he's on Doug Carriger's board as well as our Brian Hedges is. And so all these guys know each other and work together, but he'll be here on Wednesday night doing the Wednesday night service, and so come and support him if you can. I know some of you will be in D2, but either way, come and be a part of that. So let's see, we're in Hebrews chapter 11, and basically I think I told you this a couple weeks ago. I decided to do a little series on faith because I probably needed it myself, and if I need it, I guess you guys do too, and because we're all in the same boat, you know, and we're all in the same spot. So real quick review. Faith is a substance that we have that contains the promises that we expect based off of God's Word. Now, I keep trying to nail down how do I define faith, and I think that's what I want to leave it at. That it is, faith is a substance that we actually have. And I asked last week, when we get to heaven, will we actually be able to see our faith? It's a spiritual deal. You know, we can't see it now, but I would imagine, I'd never thought of this, I would imagine when we get to heaven, our faith's going to be evident. Now, how are people going to see that? You may have people coming up to you and going, wow, I can see, you know, you're a person of great faith. I hope they do that to us, right? And you know, we're going to be running up to the people in the Old Testament and asking them questions, or we probably will. I'm hoping we will. You know, there's always these things like, okay, Adam, I do have a couple questions for you. And maybe they're not all bad. Some of them might be. First of all, I'm going to take you out to the woodshed. But then they're like, well, I'll take you out also. So we kind of know the feeling there. But we may have people coming up to us and going, how? I've heard of your witness, I've heard of your faith. And when we think about that, it's like, wow, maybe I should pay a lot more attention to my faith and let my faith show, instead of being, a lot of people I think are closet Christians. You know, they're it's okay when they're in a small little group or when they're in a group of Christians, but when they're out with everybody else, they just kind of fill in with the flow. Hopefully we're not like that. Hopefully we stand out. So our faith needs to grow. And in fact, in 2 Peter, and we were going through that list of things that we are to add to our life. Remember that list? Maybe it got me. It says, add to your faith. And then it starts off with virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, and charity. And if you do these things, you will never fail. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, I just need to put those in my life. My life would be just so much easier if I put that list on it. But what does it say to add them to? The faith. Your faith. So that's kind of why I wanted to do a series on faith, to help myself out. So, you know, I'm a narcissist. It's all about me. That's how it goes. But then the second thing on under that first sentence is, to come to God, you must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay? So if you want to please the Lord, you're going to have to seek Him. You're going to have to get into this book. Okay? And so, guys, get in the book. And I like watching TV. I watch movies. I watch stuff. I do this. I get my phone out and I go through YouTube and shorts and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, am I in my book the way I should be? I used to hunt and fish. I kind of gave that all up. I still do like it, but I never do it. Nothing that is wrong. I'm like, let's just catch a different type of fish. It's just more fun. But to come to God, you've got to believe that He exists and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Okay? And so when you look at that list, I want you to hold your finger here. Go over to Hebrews chapter 4. I'm sorry, not Hebrews. Ephesians 4:7. Ephesians chapter 4:7. Ephesians 4:7 says, "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Now, I'm going to tie that into Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. So let's go look at that verse. Romans 12:3 says this, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So that verse tells me, at the lower end of it, that God gives every man, woman, and child a measure of faith. Even if you're not saved, God gives you a measure of faith to put that faith in Him. So when the gospel comes along, you've already got a measure of faith. You've already got what it takes to accept the gospel because God's given it to us. Okay? And so again, David's dad, Warren, he can't sit there and say, "Well, I've never heard the gospel. Nobody's ever told me that. Nobody's ever given me anything." God has led every man according to John 1:9. He's given him a measure of light. He's given us a measure of faith to accept who He is. And when we accept Him, and basically we are on our road to start diligently seeking Him. Now, a lot of people may fall off the wagon. They get saved and they get sucked into the world like the world does, and they don't go down the path that God wants them to. Maybe you can't see, you know, Christ in some people. But the thing is, God has given all of us that opportunity to accept who He is, and He will reward those who seek Him. God always seeks us first, but He rewards those who seek Him. And I'll give you an example of the man we're going to talk about today is Noah. So back in Hebrews chapter 11, we're just going to read a few verses today. In fact, since we're pretty close to the beginning of the chapter, let's just start in verse 1 and read down to about verse 7. It says, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Now, wouldn't we all want that testimony? Verse 6, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." The lost world, when they want to sit here and say there is no God, it's just themselves trying to convince themselves is what they're trying to do. But without exercising the faith that God has given them, they're not going to get any blessings from the Lord. It's just basically that way. You've got to put some faith out there yourself. God gives it to you, but But that, you know, he can bring a water to the horse. No, I got that wrong, didn't I? He can bring a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. Okay? That's kind of, that kind of a story of a Christian. That was kind of a story with Cain, wasn't it? God brought him to the sacrifice. Go get the right sacrifice. And what did he say? I'll bring my own. Or I'll bring my own kind. He went totally against God. Okay? But if you want to be blessed by God, you're going to have to, number one, admit that there is a God. And then you need to diligently seek after him. Okay, so Hebrews, back to Hebrews chapter 11. And verse 7, that's the one I want to work on. Or I haven't got there yet, have I? Stopped, I think. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now there's a handful right there. And so we look at Noah here and we're thinking, okay, so what's the big deal about Noah? He built a boat. You know, woohoo, you know? Well, try building a boat like that, number one. But by faith, Noah, you have a blank, obeyed God. He did what Cain didn't do. He obeyed what God said. And he took action. Now let me give you a little details of Noah. Noah is the father of Shem, Ham, and Japheth. He lived for, anybody know how long he lived? Noah. 950 years. Of course, he's you know, after the flood, they didn't, but he was like 500 years, I think, when he went in, when they built the boat. But anyway, he lived 950 years. Okay? He is the 10th generation from Adam. He's through the bloodline of Seth, so he's bringing the bloodline of our own pastor calls it the Messiah Highway. Brian does. The genealogy of Christ. Well, Noah was born, get this, 126 years after the death of Adam. He was born 14 years after the death of Seth. And he lived 50 years with Abraham. Now, did he know Abraham? I don't know. But their lifespan overlapped 50 years. So you got to remember, those guys, before the flood, they lived, you know, 900. Methuselah, I think, is a little bit older than that. But, I mean, a lot of them between 800 and 900 years. And so it didn't take very long. You could go through quite a few generations. But Noah's quite a guy. Well, number one in this verse, we're going to look at this. He was warned by God of a flood. He moved with fear. He built the ark, and he saved his family and mankind. I look at him, and I'm like, if God wanted me to build a boat today, how many people could I get on it? I don't know. He got his three boys and his wife and his daughter-in-laws on it, but that was all that got on the boat. And it wasn't because the rest of the people around didn't know what he was doing. Okay. The Bible talks about him being a preacher of righteousness. I can't find that anywhere in the Bible.
He preached 120 years. Nobody listened.
Okay. There's about three theories on the 120-year thing. And so trying to nail that down specifically is really hard. I'm not saying that's not true. But find that out for me. Okay. I'm from Missouri. You got to show me stuff, you know. So there are things that make really good preaching, but they may not be 100% accurate. And I'm not saying that's not true. There's a couple other things about that. I can get into that, but I won't go any farther. But you know, when I'm actually looking for things, there's a verse that talks about 120 years. We may go look at that in a little bit. But anyway, my point is, he was warned of God by a flood. He moved with fear. He built the ark. He saved his family and mankind. He condemned the world. So where did that come from? That was in the, probably the preaching for the 120 years. And he became the heir of righteousness, which is by faith. Faith goes in your blank. So before this happened, I'm going to get ahead of my notes. I don't want to go any farther. But by faith, everything in the Old Testament was basically by their actions. But yet you got to have the faith before you had the actions in the Old Testament. Okay? So turn over to Romans 3:22. I believe that is in your handout. Romans 3:22, we're going to look at a little bit of this righteousness, which is by faith. It says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, upon all that them that believe, for there is no difference. And that, again, that's right before verse 23, part of the Romans road, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're talking about really the people that trusted and believe in the Lord. You know, it was by their faith. Old Testament, though, it was really shown by their actions. Now, we see that also in the New Testament, but we're a little different dispensation than they are. Okay? And Philippians 3:9, we could go and look at that, but for the sake of time, I think I'll skip over that. So by faith, Noah obeyed. That was my point. Number two, to see the rest of the story about Noah, we'll have to go back to Genesis and really kind of dig into Noah just a little bit. Again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time doing that, but there's a few things I do want to bring out about Noah. Okay, Noah back in Genesis chapter 6. And I want to read 1 through 10 to start with. It says, and it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all which they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his day shall be 120 years. Now that's where we're getting that he preached for 120 years. And so, again, we'd have to go back and point out whose days are we talking about. Are we talking about the sons of God that cohabited with the women? Or are we talking about people like Noah? Who are we talking about? So there's some issue there. We could study that out. Verse 4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. And when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah, don't you just love those big buts in the Bible? I say that over and over. Yes, I do. Okay? But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And these are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And now let's just stop right there. Noah, number one, you have a blank, had a relationship with God before the flood. We don't think about that. What was Noah's life like before the flood? Before God came and told him to build the boat. Well, he already had a relationship with God. He believed God. God talked to him. How many of you have had God personally talk to you? Nobody, except through his word. God actually talked. The Lord Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate form, talked to Noah. Like he did with Adam. Like he did with Enoch. Okay? So God talked to him. It says so. You know how I know that? You know how he talked with him? How I know he talked with him? Verse 13. Is that the right verse? And God said unto Noah, okay, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. He had a relationship. He talked with them. But not only that, he walked with them. Verse 9. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man. Okay? I hope people talk about us that way. Go, well, he's a just person, okay? He was perfect in his generations. Does anybody understand what that means? He was perfect in his generations. No, not there. Think about the bloodline. Remember, we just read about there was some fallen angels coming down, cohabiting with women and trying to mix their blood in with Adam's blood. So there's a lot of different groups out there. And why did Satan do that? He's trying to mess that bloodline up so there's not a pure bloodline from Seth all the way to Christ. And yet, Noah's bloodline was perfect. So it doesn't mean it was sinless. It means it was pure. Okay? So Noah was a just man and was perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with who? He walked with God. He had a relationship with God. Okay? So he's a just man. He's perfect in his generations. And he walked with God. And it also says that he found grace with God in verse 8. But Noah, there's that. Verse again, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And let me just show you that grace in this particular place in verse 8. First time in the Bible that you see that word. Right there. Okay? And what is grace? Basically, favor with God. Okay? So number 2, Roman number 2. Noah believed the Lord's words. When God told him what was going to happen, he didn't say, oh, come on, God. He goes, you know, he didn't. He believed what God told him. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So let's go ahead and look at verses 11 through 22. And I know you guys know the story. We'll just pull some things out of it that we can. And Noah begat three sons, verse 10, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, and the earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now, what do you think Noah's thinking at this point? Okay, what about us? What about me? What's going to happen to me? I don't know. I'm just thinking if I was Adam, what would I be saying? And then God tells him in verse 14, he goes, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shall thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion with which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. And we don't exactly know how big that is. You know, there's all kinds of... Have any of you guys went to Kentucky to see the ark that's there? Okay. That sucker's massive, isn't it?
Yes.
You couldn't put it in your backyard. I mean, this guy had to have a few acres.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, he gives him the length of the ark, shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. This isn't a boat. This is a building. Okay, when you look at it. And a window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, and third stories shalt thou make it. Behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy son's wife with thee. Well, at least the Lord knew who was going to be there. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shall thou bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. And so I'm just going to stop there for a minute. Since I'm about to the end. Let's keep going. I have to turn my page, but of the fowls after their kind, and of the cattle after their kind, of every creeping thing of the earth after his kind, two of every sort shall thou come to thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and it shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him, so did he. So Noah put his faith. Let me go back where I'm at. I'm jumping notes. So, letter A says, the Lord told Noah that he was going to destroy all flesh. Now, I can imagine that was probably a pretty big shock to Noah. It'd be like somebody just, you know, you walking out in front of everything, said, you know what, I'm going to wipe everything off the face of the earth. Okay? And then the Lord told Noah to build a boat. The Lord told Noah that he was sending a flood in which everything that breathed would die. And the Lord told Noah that he would make a covenant with him. Covenant goes in that blank. I think you may have a blank. The Lord told Noah that the ark would save him and his family and the animals. Okay. So I want you to get the picture here. Number one, Noah had never seen a flood. Noah had not even seen rain at that point. Okay? He had never seen the total destruction of mankind. So his belief went from believing God to faith and what God said. Okay? Because he believed it and he acted upon it. He had never seen it, but yet he believed what God said and he acted upon God's word. That is exactly what faith is. Okay? Number three. Noah put his faith goes in your blank, in the Lord when he acted upon the Lord's words. So in Genesis chapter 7, I'm not going to read everything about it, but it just shows what he does. He builds the ark. He brought the animals into the ark. He brought all the food that was needed into the ark, and he got his family in the ark. Now, that was quite a chore just to do probably all of those. Okay? Noah believed God's word. You have a blank there. He expected, because that's what faith is. Faith is a substance that you are expecting something from what God said. He expected that by obeying the Lord and building the ark, getting his family and the animals in the ark, that they would be saved from the coming destruction. It was faith in the Lord that kept Noah going through the trials of the building. Now let me just stop right there. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine God coming to you and saying, I want you, Larry, to build me this boat. And then he gave you the size of it, and you're like, that again, this is not a boat, this is a building. And if it did take 120 years, and I'm not saying it doesn't, I'm just saying it's kind of hard to really just nail that down. Don't you think your faith would just waver a little bit, maybe on your 50 some odd year or something of building this thing? I mean, even the best of men, it would test them. Like, why am I building this boat again? You know, is it going to be worth it? Well, number one, yeah, it's total destruction unless you build the boat. But still, even building the boat, there had to have been times in Noah's life when he just wanted to chuck it. You know, after he hit his thumb for the 500th time, you know, he's having problems, you know, getting lumber. I don't know where he didn't just run down to Home Depot and buy lumber or the lumber yard.
Weren't people mocking him the whole time?
I would imagine, I don't know if it shows us that, but nobody else got in a boat. So, yeah, going through not just the building of the boat, but the ridicule and the day in, the day out of working everything to get it in place. even getting the animals in. Now, I believe that God brought a lot of the animals, but he still had to have food. He had to have hay. He had to have water. You had to have all these things in there. The day in, day out, day in of doing this would probably have got most of us flustered at some point, or maybe even to the point where we just walked. He had to have some faith. He had to have some faith, okay? Noah's faith is what energized goes in your last blank, because he was sure that he would be rewarded. It had to be worth it all, okay? And again, if you're building this boat, getting all the preparations, all the time, all the thinking about how you're going to do things, all, you know, just getting people to work, getting his sons to help him build it, he had to have something to energize that faith. It was his faith that energized him. Yes?
He was walking and talking with the Lord before, mm-hmm. and then the Lord gave him this task to do. You think the Lord's still walking and talking with him the whole time that he's building?
I hadn't really thought about that, but I'm sure he was, because, you know, the Lord's not going to leave him or forsake him anytime through this.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is it wasn't like the Lord gave him.
Just left him?
And left him.
Yeah, so it doesn't talk about the Lord showing up and going, say, hey, you're making good progress today or doing this. I don't know.
Hey, I don't know. A load of lumber coming from Africa. It'll be here,
See you in 120 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, Carrie, you have something to say?
Well, isn't there a place where it talks about the boat being sealed from the inside? So the Lord was
Lord
in
sealed
there.
The Lord shut him in. Yes. So the Lord's there all the time too.
And he was there in that. In his protection.
Okay. So, but my whole point is, he had to have great faith in that God would do what he said, even though God's there. And so, you know, a lot of these people, we read these stories and we're like, okay, well, I got that story down, but we don't know half of it. We don't know all the things he went through. We don't know what problems he dealt with on a daily basis. And the point is, the Bible, God puts Noah in here, in his hall of faith, and says, you know, he had great faith. Okay? And so, we need to not take that for granted. Okay? And in our life, we need to exercise our faith. We need to build our faith. We need to obey God. We need to put that in the front of our life and at the focus of our life, actually. Because I think a lot of times we let the world and everything else get us doing what we're doing, and we take our eyes off the Lord and do what we want to do, or we're doing, well, I got a job, I got this, I got that. And in essence, at the very end, what's going to save us? Our relationship with the Lord. So, Roger, do you have something?
There's scripture where it talks about God being a wise master builder.
Yes.
So, he had some assistance.
Yes. So maybe, you know, it doesn't tell us, but yeah, well, if the Lord's showing up and going, yeah, you probably need to put a little more tar on the right side over there. I don't see why not. We just don't know. Okay. But still going through the ridicule on all that effort. Just think about that. I mean, how many of you have built a house or worked on a house? And if it, can you imagine doing a building the size of this boat? I keep calling it a building because it's bigger than a boat. It's a monster. And I'm just thinking about that, and I'm like, and I don't think he had power tools.
He had power though.
But he had the power. Okay. And so we need to just think about Noah, think about his faith, and we need to, all these people that we see, we need to see what they did with their faith and try to pull that into our life and just build our faith the way that God wants us to have it. I'll leave it at that. So let's pray. Father in heaven, we do thank you for your word, Lord. We do thank you for these incredible stories in your Bible, and specifically with Noah. And Lord, we just thank you about him building the boat and all the things that went through that, Lord. And through this, his faith grew. And even then, Lord, we know he was a sinner and he wasn't a perfect man and he did things that were not right, but yet he put his faith in you. He trusted in you and his family was saved because of that. And Lord, I just pray we would glean from that. We would put that in our lives and we would just try to not just imitate these great men in the Bible and women in the Bible, but we would focus specifically on Christ and who he is and try to imitate him. But at the same time, help us also to learn from these patriarchs in the Bible. So we just pray for a good week for all of us. Give us opportunities to get the word out. And I pray, Lord, you would use us. I pray that we would see fruit as a result of being obedient to you. And in Christ's name I pray. Amen. Ephesians 4:7, Romans 12:3. Talk about a measure of faith that God gives us. That I just kind of threw them in this morning. That he gives us. He gives us. What did I say?
He said everybody.
No. Well, no, he does give every man, woman, and child a measure of faith. Not just Christians.
Okay. Study that out, who he's talking to. I'm going to do the same thing.
Okay.
There will be a
decision. Okay. I'll do that. I'll write that down.
He says, those who are among you. And he is specifically talking to believers there.
Okay. I need to look at the context.
Yeah.
But I'll go back and look at it. Thank you, Dad. I need people keeping me honest. So.